I'm white, which means I like this song. This is the B-52s with Love Shack. I think every white person on earth has some form of dance to this.
I don't know.
None of it's uniform. You don't like Love Shack?
No. I'm saying I think this one transcends. Like, you know, black people even have like, hey, that white jam slaps. I think Love Shack should at least transcend that.
I think it's a great song. It's a unique.
I mean, I don't think Love Shack's on at the cookout, but like.
It is one of those, like when I hear them do this, I'm like, I don't care to hear anything else they play, but I do love this song.
Did they have another hit? The
Probably.
B-52s?
I don't know.
Someone's going to tweet us now, like some massive B-52s Probably. Fan or something.
Well, massive might massive be a strong band. Word
You're
for
right
it.
On that.
Yeah. Love Shack, baby. I love it.
That's where it's at.
That's where it's at. Everything about it's perfect. It feels like it belongs on Broadway somehow.
There's
like
something
very,
too
very some, Broadway.
There's something too about Billboard hits where it's actually a male singer, but it's a female chorus.
Yeah,
for some reason that hits usually if it's done the right way.
It's set way back in the middle of a hill. It's a comfy little shack. I don't even know what really this song totally means, because every time I think I understand what it means, I don't. It's like. They're kind of teasing me. I'm not sure if they're flirting with me
or
not.
Talking about glitter being everywhere.
Right. Like, what is happening at the Love Shack? I think my mind goes to places where I think I know what's going on at the Love Shack. Then they sing lyrics and I'm not sure I do know what's going on at the Love Shack.
It does sound like a really fun house party.
Did D-Light's Groove is in the Heart come out in 1992?
I can check for you. I have not seen that on the chart yet.
The 1990 choice for Throwback Thursday goes back to a game that Washington played in Philadelphia, known now as the Body Bag Game, where a number of players went out. I think the number was 9, got injured in the game. So much so that Brian Mitchell ended up having to play quarterback for Washington. They lost that game that day. In a little bit, I'll recap some of the stuff that happened from the famous Body Bag Game. Very quickly on the NFL Today. New COVID protocols via the NFL coming out right now.
Okay.
Throughout the pandemic, we have continuously evolved our protocols to meet our goal of advancing the safety of the players, coaches, and staff. The changes we are making today aim to address the increase in cases and the advent of the Omicron variant. Effective immediately, all clubs will implement preventative measures that have proven effective, masking regardless of vaccination status, remote or outdoor meetings, eliminating in-person meals, no outside visitors while on team travel. We will continue to strongly encourage booster shots as the most effective protection. Finally, and based on expert advice, we will adjust the return to participation requirements for those who have recovered from COVID-19. All of these changes are grounded in our data and science-backed approach, with safety our number one goal for the entire NFL community. So they were hinting at this, and I think that they ran it up the public flagpole yesterday just to see what people would say about it. But the asymptomatic people who have come down with a positive test, I think they're going to allow them to come back sooner and out of the protocol.
That's right.
If they show no symptoms and they show a negative test, because I don't know how they could justify allowing someone who's positive be on a field with other people who may be unvaccinated. I don't think that that's going to totally fly. Yep. And I can't imagine the experts are saying, go for it on that. What they're saying is we're streamlining the timeline and saying the second, if you're vaccinated, you're asymptomatic. The second you get a negative test, we're letting you go back and play. I think that's what they're saying. They didn't explicitly say that, but I think that's what they're saying. Well, they've been very careful about when you can and cannot come back. And so I think that they're trying to streamline this because they're looking at what's happening this weekend to the Washington game, the Cleveland game, the Rams game, and you know whoever else ends up having a problem and going, this isn't good. And we're going to have non-competitive, or we're going to have player safety issues this weekend with these guys that are going out there and putting on a uniform, but probably shouldn't be out there right now. So it's going to be,
this is better than the news that we were hearing yesterday, where like we were hearing, oh, if a player was asymptomatic, they were going to let them kind of just come back and play. And I'm glad they're pairing that with the, hey, just test negative.
I think they threw that out there on purpose just to see what the reaction would be to it, I think.
Yeah. Well, I think they also would be dumb to do that only because it was, like I said, a temporary solution that would have long-term problems. You would probably still be infecting, you know, teams all over again. So, all right. Like I think the NFL is the one that usually is the one that has to be the role model here. And I think this kind of modified approach is going to be what we're going to have to deal with if people want to, you know, continue on with their seasons. So,
all right, let me get to the story I've been waiting to talk about all day, which is Urban Meyer was fired.
Bing
today.
Bong.
Bing bong.
12 o'clock.
He's done.
Bomb. That was the best.
Shad Khan, after deliberation over many weeks and a thorough analysis of the entirety of Urban's tenure with our team, I'm bitterly disappointed to arrive at the conclusion that an immediate change is imperative for everyone. I informed Urban of the change this evening. As I stated in October, regaining our trust and respect was essential. Regrettably, it did not happen. In the spirit of closure and recharging our players, staff, and fan base, I will not comment further until some point following the conclusion of the season. The offensive coordinator, Daryl Bevel, is going to be the interim head coach. The GM, Trent Baalke, is going to stay there in place for now. In Meyer's only, this is an incredible paragraph. In Meyer's only season with the Jaguars, the team went 2-11, its 10th season with double-digit losses in the past 11 years. But issues off the field are what doomed him. From hiring a strength and conditioning coordinator who'd been accused of making racist remarks and bullying black players, to a video of Meyer with a woman who's not his wife at a bar, to tensions between Meyer and his staff and players, there was dysfunction almost from the moment he was hired. The latest embarrassment was a report Wednesday in the Tampa Bay Times, in which former kicker Josh Lambeau alleged that Meyer kicked him in the leg while he was stretching in warmups before practice during the week of the final preseason game. And the quote in the story was, "You better effing start making your kicks."
Didn't he call him a dip? You know what?
You dip. Yeah. You know what? And then the guy was like, "You can't kick me." And his response was, "I'm the head ball coach. I can do whatever I want."
He actually said, "Don't effing talk to me like that ever again."
Yes.
I think it was something along those lines, the kicker did. Because guess what? He's a professional football player.
Yeah.
It's his job. You don't treat people like that.
You don't treat anybody like that ever anyway.
Right.
League sources also confirmed to ESPN on Saturday an NFL Network report that Jaguars receiver Marvin Jones had to be persuaded to return to the team facility after leaving in response to Meyer's published criticism of the wide receivers. Sources also said that Meyer and Jones had a heated exchange of practice after he returned. Following Sunday's 20-0 loss to Tennessee, the fourth shutout loss in franchise history, Meyer denied that he and Jones had an argument and also denied an NFL Network report that he called his assistant coaches losers and questioned their resumes during a staff meeting.
This guy, I can't believe he just made all, I mean, I can believe. I can't believe he made all the same mistakes every other college coach does.
It's unbelievable.
That you can do whatever you want. That is like the first thing you learn real fast is that it is a completely different operational. These are grown men that have paychecks and they don't have to take your you know what.
You know, it also.
And same thing to his staff, by the way.
I get that he won a lot in college. I now feel really bad for these kids that he clearly bullied the crap out of throughout the years. Just totally obviously. If he is willing to say to a grown man who gets a paycheck, call him a dip, you know what? Call this guy who's had a career in coaching a loser. Yep. Show me your resume. Like, that isn't learned new behavior.
Yeah.
That's what he's been doing the whole time.
Yep.
And he's always had this over everybody because they win and it worked. And all he did was bully 18-year-olds. And you know what? Like, big man you are, pal.
Well, and when you're in college,
big
too,
leader you are.
When you're in high school, when you're in college, too, you don't know any better than to listen to your head football coach.
Right.
You'd run through a wall for the guy because
he also
he's your
has
leader.
Your leverage. Like,
yes.
He can pull your, oh, you don't like it? I'll take your scholarship
That's
away.
Right.
Enjoy
right.
going to Weber State.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And so you don't know
and
any
I'll
better.
And I'll trash you to everybody else so no
right.
one picks you up.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it is.
I can't believe, like, I'm drawing.
The fraud.
Well,
this guy is. He bullies kids. That's what he is. He's a bully.
I can't believe that Dwayne Haskins came from his program.
Because I mean,
you would think he would have either been a hard ass on him, and that guy would have gotten it a little more, or he coddled him. I don't know which one's which.
You know what? Like, boy, did we dodge a bullet on this one.
Oh, you think?
This
I
guy,
thought about that last night.
This guy showed up here. Poked his head in Dan's box.
Tried to buddy up to him.
Alex Smith was sitting in the box, too.
Yep.
Alex Smith is vouching for this guy. He clearly wants to be a head coach. I thought he was using Snyder to get to Jerry Jones because he really wanted the Cowboys
right,
job.
Right, right.
Jerry Jones sniffed it out a mile away.
Right
it was
away,
like,
yeah.
He's like, I'll hire that Lincoln Riley before I hire this. You know, I ain't got time jack with this guy. That's you know, and this guy, for Jerry Jones too, Jerry Jones is like, oh, you think you're going to be cock of the walk here?
Yeah,
I am.
Right, right.
McCarthy had to, you know, kneel at the altar before he's given the job. Urban Meyer's not going to do that.
Kellen Moore will be your offensive coordinator. Thank you. Pick
you know,
the rest.
And maybe you're like, listen, the reason why Greg Williams was not the head coach in Washington after Joe Gibbs is because he walked into Dan Snyder's offense and said something to him that was highly offensive. And I think you need to read the room when you're talking to someone like him. That's just, one, he's the owner of the team, so you shouldn't really talk to your prospective boss that way. But two, I don't think you know this guy at all if you think that that's going to work with him.
Yep.
And I could see where Urban's like, I want to be the coach of the Cowboys. And Jerry Jones is like, I'm the coach of the Cowboys.
Right. Right. Yes.
I'm not going to have any, like, the Bill Parcells stuff ended up blowing up because Parcells a big figure,
right.
And he didn't want to have somebody who was bigger than him walking around the building.
Right.
So Urban Meyer was never going to work there. Here, I could see where Dan could be like, you know what? Like, even if I don't like this guy, because I know deep down he just wants to put somebody into a win. He's like, I'll put up with him and it'll last 10 minutes because that's what happened with Marty. Marty was the smartest guy in the room. Not like this. Marty wasn't a dick to everybody, but like,
right. You
know, like, but Marty's smartest guy in the room. And Dan's like, I'm the smartest guy in the room. And then knocking heads and all of a sudden there's a firing. That would have happened here too. But man, were we close. Boy, did we dodge a ball. This guy showed up. Oh, I'm just here to visit my old players. Oh, I bet you are, pal. Gee, I wonder if you're sniffing around for the job here because you know that it's open.
Well, I think too, the biggest, actually, I think you have a misconception there. Dan could have said, I don't want to work with this guy on a day-to-day basis, but I'm not in the building. So if he wins, I don't care. I think that could have gone that route. And I think that's what was scary was, like, what would have happened with the whole Jay Gruden, Bruce Allen era where we kind of said it at the beginning where it was like, oh, great, like, Dan's really not really around. Like, let's see what football people do. And, in fact, it was worse because there wasn't someone there to put the pressure on at all at times. So it could have actually gone worse the other way if Dan wasn't in the building and that was the hire. So
I agree. I agree. We dodged a bullet here because I could see where he could talk himself into. I'm going to hire this guy because
I'll fix Dwayne.
Well, I'll fix Dwayne. Mm-hmm. And it's the total opposite of Jay Gruden, like the complete polar opposite. You are going to get somebody in here who's going to be screaming and yelling at everybody. And it would have been a disaster here, too.
Yes.
And then, you know, so he got lucky. He wisely listened to people and he hired a normal human being who happens to be, you know, somewhat of a hard ass, but not somebody who's going to be ridiculous like this person has been.
That's right.
Shows up there and acts this way. I knew it from the get-go. And all the people who are defending him, and I was making fun of Brady Quinn the other day, who's like, oh, you didn't give him a chance. I can name you a lot of college coaches that were given a chance. This guy was scrutinized because we all know exactly who he is.
We know his operation.
I know how he works. I know what he does.
We know the people that he hires and recruits.
He does. He will skirt the line of common decency.
Yep.
He will hire people that have very, very sketchy attitudes about life.
Mm-hmm.
He will bring in players that are high-risk situations because he just wants to win, and he thinks he can will it to happen by screaming and yelling and bullying people. And in the NFL, you better have a really good team because it's hard to win in the NFL, and secondarily, that doesn't fly.
That's right.
At all.
That's right.
It doesn't from the get-go. And I'm so happy this happened. Now, I think it sucks he's being rewarded for this. He's going to get $60 million, you know, for being a fraudulent NFL coach. And I don't want to hear it like, oh, he's just the college coaches. They don't get a chance. Yeah, they do. Go ask Matt Rhule if we're giving him half a chance to succeed in Carolina.
Yep.
Go ask Kingsbury if we're giving him at least the benefit of the doubt to do this.
Sure.
There have been other college. Jimmy Johnson was a very successful college coach.
Pete Carroll.
So was Barry Switzer. Yes. You think people are going, oh, Pete Carroll, stupid college coach. Nobody's saying that about
him.
He's going to be in the Hall of Fame as a head coach in the NFL. So I don't want to hear it that, like, we don't give him half a chance. I just knew what the score was with this guy, and I'm like, good luck. Good luck in the NFL pulling that attitude, calling somebody a dip you-know-what and kicking him in the thigh and thinking you're going to get away with that with a professional. He's lucky he wasn't fired in the summer over something like that. And I bet Shad Khan, if he ends up having to pay him out this whole thing, and probably won't because I'm sure they'll figure out something.
Yep.
But, like, he's probably regretting the whole, I should have fired him in week four when I had that morals clause video and I could have dumped him and the whole world would have been like, good, get rid of this guy.
Well, you know? And you also knew how bad it was because Trevor Lawrence wasn't hesitating to criticize him at all. Like, every week we would hear Lawrence not criticize him directly, but they would ask him something that they also asked Urban, and he would, in the best way, indirectly say he disagreed with what this guy was doing every week. And so you know that when a first-year quarterback is doing that, you already know things are off the rails inside the building.
Let's see. BetOnline asked this. Will Urban Meyer be coaching a college football team by the end of next year?
Ooh.
No is minus 200. I think it will matter. I think it will probably matter whether he's rectified how much the Jaguars pay him, because he doesn't want to. He's not going to be able to double dip. I'm sure in his contract was
clause,
if you want to leave and you leave us high and dry, we ain't paying you.
That's right.
Right. So he probably has to get that settled before he can even talk about, like, he wasn't a big name for all these big college openings. Gee, I wonder why. You don't think he wasn't sniffing around I got to get out of here? And Chad Khan was like, go ahead, take him. Probably. And nobody would, because he's not getting $10 million a year from another college with how bad it's gone this year with him.
I'm going to guess who. It's tough with him because I think he probably would benefit by just slinking away and not doing anything.
I agree.
But you and I have talked about it, you know, the past month. The college coaching pool is so desolate right now.
I know.
I could totally see somebody stepping up and paying him because they're desperate. Something happens where either something else bad happens to a big name program or someone's like, we need to have a splash here. Mm-hmm. I'd lean towards yes, just because I know how this sport works. I know how football works. The football, not unlike real news, the news cycle is pretty fast.
It moves fast.
Like,
it moves fast.
He got fired at midnight last night. Everybody was talking about Jackson Mahomes today.
That's right.
And so I'm just not going to be shocked when a college starts.
I remember when John
Gruden
resigned, fired, whatever it was. And I was like, boy, Urban Meyer felt like 8 years ago, didn't it?
Yes.
And that was 2 weeks later.
That's right.
And that was after the crazy video had come out.
Yes.
And, you know, like.
So.
Ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm not going to be shocked when a college team comes sniffing around and saying, hey, you want to come here, rehab your image? We know what the score is. Like, look at what they did with Lane Kiffin. Like, something like that where a school comes and says, you want to make us good for a couple years, then be on your way. I could totally see it happening.
Yeah. Let's see. BetOnline, next Jaguars full-time head coach. Who do you think the odds-on favorite is for that one? This is a good choice, I think, actually.
Is it Bieniemy?
Byron Leftwich.
So I saw that.
You know, who's offensive coordinator Tampa right now. Yeah. Granted, very different quarterback prospect, but of course is working with legendary players, so clearly can do it. Has, you know, coached in the NFL for a long time now. Obviously played for a long time in the NFL, so that's a professional guy and played in Jacksonville. It's an interesting name. He's the odds-on favorite right now to get it.
I think that's a nice name if they were in a situation where this roster was better and they were teetering on 5-12, something like that, and a few more wins. I think you have a number one overall quarterback. You need to make sure it's a surefire thing. I'd lean towards a veteran coach more than I would Leftwich.
I would lean towards a veteran coach, and he's the guy who coaches him as the offensive coordinator. I like that.
Way,
like, Eric Bieniemy is going to be named prominently here, and it's the same thing here. There's a part of me that goes, if you hired Marvin Lewis as, say, the head coach,
yes,
and then somehow convinced Bieniemy to come in
to
as
come
the
over.
Assistant head
right.
coach and paid him a premium, mm-hmm. right? A premium to come right. and coach this guy and tell Bieniemy, I'm only going to be here 2 to 3 years,
yeah.
and then I'm going to be siphoned out and you're going to take over all things go well. Because
yep.
Andy Reid ain't going anywhere for a while. Not with Mahomes there.
No, of course not.
He ain't leaving, right?
Nor should he.
But Marvin Lewis, they could... I'm going to teach you how to be a head coach under me, and then you're going to have this guy, and he's going to fully trust you by the time we get around to it. I could see that.
Yeah.
That's what I could see.
I think that's the situation they need to lean towards, because right now, too, you need to make sure to quell the kind of, like, you know, the tightness in that room with the veterans.
I think they need a professional coach who's been around a long time head coach.
Just like this team did with Rivera.
As a head coach. Yeah. Yes. A professional head coach. Jim Caldwell, Marvin Lewis.
You don't got to be flashy, because if it works out with your quarterback, everything takes care of itself.
Correct. And then you need a really good professional coordinator. And there's a couple other names here, like Brian Daboll, who's helped Josh Allen become what he's become.
Absolutely.
That's an interesting choice here. But again, like, why would he leave Buffalo unless it's going to be for the head coaching job? Right. In the same way, can you really convince Bieniemy to leave and be the offense? Probably not.
Right.
In the same way that Leftwich may be like, I'll go if I'm the head coach, but I'm not going to do it otherwise, even though it probably would be better served to have a professional head coach who's done it for a long time, Marvin Lewis, Jim Caldwell, someone like that, you know, like, he's been there a while, can get everything settled and bring in someone like Leftwich and say, make this guy great.
Yeah.
Make this guy great. And in a few years, I'm not going to be here anymore. You're going to be the head coach, but you'll have already established the relationship with this guy. He's the most important guy here. He gets good, you're good. The other name that's out there is Josh McDaniels, and everyone's been waiting for him to, and I'll tell you what,
jump again.
Mac Jones, probably the offensive rookie of the year outside of Ja'Marr Chase. He was a fifth quarterback off the board. They're the number one seed right now. I know they have a really good team, and I know they have a really good system and all that stuff, but I mean, you got to give the guy a little bit of credit here. I mean, that ain't Tom Brady, right? And they're 9-4. Like, I don't know. So that's an interesting one, too.
I think McDaniels is a lifer now with New England. I think once he reneged that Colts job, I think he
can. I mean, I wouldn't leave Mac Jones at this point. You're safe. Belichick ain't going anywhere.
And
when he does, you'd be in line for it.
Well, and it's also worth noting, Belichick, we don't know how much he gets paid. No one knows what that guy makes. What do his coordinators make?
Don't worry about it. Don't worry about what money I make. We're on Cincinnati.
That's right.
I can buy Cincinnati. I bought Cincinnati.
Probably can.
Bought Cincinnati.
But, like, nobody knows what that is. And we've heard, like, crazy numbers. Like, oh, yeah, that guy makes, like, $9 million a year. Or he makes $25 million a year because he's Belichick. Like, so I wonder what his coordinators make, too. I bet you McDaniels, he might make comparable head coach money already there. So
here's the other name they have on the list. Mike Tomlin. Who I don't think is going anywhere, but like,
if he gets fired,
I think,
why would he get fired?
I don't think he'd get fired, but you know, they are in a predicament here. I mean, they don't have a quarterback, and Ben's going to retire, I think, or they're going to force him to. I don't know. I don't think, why would he leave Pittsburgh and go to Jacksonville? Like, that makes no sense to me. He'd have to be fired.
Yeah.
However, if he were to go there and he could convince his ex-player, Byron Leftwich, to come with him, I could see where that, because look, I mean, if Brady's going to be gone sooner or later, so Leftwich is going, do I really want to coach Kyle Trask? You know, like, come on now. Like, I'd take you with the number one pick and we can have a nice long run together with these guys.
Yeah.
So we'll see. All right, let's take a quick break. Brady wants to show ESPN 630 Sports Capital. Brady wants to show ESPN 630 is presented by Flight by Yuengling. Raise the bar at the next generation of light beer. This is the best song of 1990. This is Digital Underground with the Humpty Dance.
I wish I had a camera on you.
Oh.
I made sure to be looking at you when I hit the space bar to play that one.
This is a great song. Everybody likes the Humpty Dance. I mean, they have like a bass line that just repeats, and then, you know, the top hat's going, and then a bass line. That's it. And then a guy puts on a fake nose and glasses. He's not even really a good rapper. Oh, I love the Humpty Dance. I haven't heard the Humpty Dance in a while. I may introduce Archer to the Humpty Dance later.
I think
today.
He would like that. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I introduced him to Still by Dr. Dre yesterday. Oh. And man, was he into that? And I forgot what the video was. And so he was asking me if we could get hydraulics on my car this morning. He was like, how do you do that? And I'm like, well, you have to take it to the shop.
Yeah, these
and,
kits.
Yeah. And I'm like, my Nissan Leaf with hydraulics.
No,
that would be
not,
something.
It's not going to work.
It's not
going to
bounce
that.
The same.
Yeah, no.
Yeah.
I used to drive, it was my first car in high school, an 89 Caprice. That was black. And that sucker would have looked great with hydraulics.
Hydraulics? Yeah.
I had people offer me cash at gas stations for that car. It was so nice.
I love the Humpty Dance. Oh, I'm so glad that got played today. Oh, man. I love it.
I figured
they have another great hit called Do What You Like.
Don't know that one.
Yeah. Sorry. You'd probably know if you heard it.
Not an expert on Digital Underground.
As you know, I mainlined old school rap when I was in high school. Digital Underground was up there for me.
Right.
All right. We chose 1990 because that is the year of the famous Washington-Philadelphia body bag game that took place at Veterans Stadium. And I forgot this part. It was on Monday Night Football.
When it happened.
November 12th, 1990. Washington lost 28-14. The nickname came from Buddy Ryan, who was the head coach of the Eagles at the time, who told reporters his team would inflict a beating on Washington so bad they're going to have to be carted off in body bags. And then during the
game... That's a fine these days.
I don't think that won't fly now.
I think it's a one-game suspension, actually.
These days, Josh Lambeau would complain about that and probably get you fired.
Greg Williams is going, I didn't do anything wrong. Look what he did.
Yeah. He's like, I just told them to tackle Brett Favre. And you guys... kicked me out of the league for a year.
Happened to be bags of money involved.
Yeah. I don't think I talked about this the other day, which I should in a moment. Remind me. The
Sean Payton movie.
Oh, my God.
Do we know?
That is going to be the worst movie that's ever been made.
Why is...
It's terrible.
Why is
Kevin James looks nothing like him, sounds nothing like him. It's preposterous. It looks like an after-school movie. It's about him coaching his kid's high school football team on the year he was on suspension. It is so remarkably stupid. Like, I can't even begin. It's terrible.
Who plays Greg Williams? Do we know? He's got to be in it.
I don't know.
He's got to be in it, right?
Who's the best? Who could play a really good crazy person right now? Who could do that?
Pete Davidson.
Yeah, but he wouldn't even try. He would not do a Greg Williams accent. He would just be Pete Davidson pretending he's Greg Williams.
It'd be pretty funny, though.
Might be.
Hey, guys, go break his leg.
Yeah.
Have a good game.
Yeah. Hey, guys, we have a, what's it called? A bounty.
Yeah.
We got a bounty.
That's right.
It's like Norm MacDonald. Yeah, yeah, go do it. Yeah, yeah. Get it. It's a bounty.
Norm MacDonald would be a good Greg Williams.
Great Greg Williams. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, 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 yeah. Break his hip. I'll give you a little money. Go ahead. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Another bag of money. It's one underneath my desk.
Yeah, it's under my desk. Just go get it. let's see.
R.I.P.
During the game, 9 Redskins players, I don't mind saying it, that's what they were back then, left with injuries, and an Eagles player reacted to one of them by yelling, "Do you guys need more body bags?" It was the second meeting of the year.
See, Washington was making shirts back then. That's a good t-shirt.
The body bag game?
Do you need more
A green body bag shirt? Do you need more body bags? With like Clyde Simmons standing over like a down Washington player? Let's see. Second game of the year between the two. Jeff Rutledge was the quarterback for Washington at the time because, not unlike this year, they had a lot of injuries. Fifth season under Buddy Ryan. They had been in the playoffs 2 straight years. In the previous game, just a few weeks earlier, Washington had beaten Philadelphia 13-7. Here comes the rematch, and not unlike this year, very close in between one of them. Eagles scored first on a 30-yard pick 6 by William Frizzell. Second quarter, Washington tied the game, Jeff Rutledge to Don Warren. In the third quarter, the Eagles took control. First came on a trick play. Fullback Keith Byers threw a 9-yard touchdown pass to Heath Sherman. Second defensive score came in the game. Clyde Simmons returned a fumble 18 yards. They went up 21-7. Final touchdown was won to Sherman by Randall Cunningham, who was quarterback of the Eagles at the time. Washington finished the scoring in the fourth quarter. It was already over, though, when Brian Mitchell scored on a 1-yard run. During the game, 9 Redskin players were injured, including the starting quarterback Jeff Rutledge and his backup Stan Humphries. Washington already playing without Mark Rippon, who was injured earlier in the year, and Gary Hogaboom, who was inactive, had to end the game with Brian Mitchell at quarterback, who had played, obviously, in college. He went 3-for-6, 40 yards, and then ran for the aforementioned touchdown. Following the body bag game, the Eagles won 5 of their last 7 under Randall Cunningham. They finished the season 10-6, and they entered as a wild card team, 4th seed in the NFC. But I'll never forget this, because I went to the wild card game where Washington played Philadelphia, which I don't remember was the same season as the body bag game, but took place in the Vet, because little known fact, if you're curious, and this is still the case, if you want to go to a road playoff game of your team has an allotment of tickets that they can sell. Not many people knew that. And I went down to RFK Stadium because at the time there was no Ticketmaster. You go do this. I went down to RFK Stadium with a friend of mine where the box office was open and bought tickets to go to the NFC wildcard game in Philadelphia. Seats sucked, as you might imagine, but we went. And the Vet whatever its reputation was not underrated at the time. The Eagles fans were not nice, okay? And we went, famously in that wild card game, there was one of the most famous non-changes of a replay call that occurred. Ernest Biner had what looked to be, on video replay on the Jumbotron in the stadium, a clear fumble. For some reason, they never showed this angle that was shown on TV that showed he was down and didn't fumble. But everybody in the stadium, because they only showed the angle that made it look like he had fumbled and not the definitive one,
send everyone to a fervor,
went crazy. Yeah. At this point, because Washington was leading and then ended up winning, this is not unlike, I've had two scary sports experiences. Game 7 Boston, when the Capitals won in Boston,
right,
and I thought I was going to get shanked, and my friend, who was like 6'5", former hockey player, no skin in the game, is a Rangers fan, who just went because he likes good hockey, said, follow me, we're leaving immediately, okay? Because they were not happy when I cheered when Joel Ward scored. They're not happy. I stayed low. I laid low the whole time. But I couldn't help it. When Joel Ward scored, I let out a squeal like I've never let out. I was like, oh! Then I was like, and so I gave myself up.
I was like, oh!
I'm a Caps fan. And they were like, we're leaving. He's like, we're leaving immediately. And I'm telling you, there were sociopathic eyes that were shot my way.
You weren't even wearing any gear, though.
I didn't, because I knew better. I knew better. This was the other one. I thought for sure, me and my friend, who were huge Redskins fans, were going to get beaten up on the way out. Like, they were giving us looks, because Washington won, and they were giving us looks like they were going to kill us. And I was scared. I've had other bad incidents up there. Like, this weekend, I'm taking the train up. I'm not driving, because I've had problems with my car in the vet park, or in Philadelphia's parking lot. Right. Even in the media lot, I've had problems in the past. They see a Maryland tag, and they mess with your car. And I haven't done it in a long time. I typically have gone either with the team or gone in a different way, but I don't even take my car up there anymore, because I've had, you know,
jeez,
not to say it, I've had problems up there. I, you know, like, I had an experience when I first was on the broadcast team back in the late, you know, aughts. I was on the bus with the team. You know, we probably would do that now if it wasn't for COVID, but, you know, because we'd leave the hotel with the team. But I used to go with the team over to the stadium, you know, whatever time we left in the morning. And I can attest to, I had moments where they threw rocks at us.
What?
On the bus. Yeah. Threw rocks at the bus.
That's
it's crazy.
That's psychopathic tendencies.
Psychopathic. But that, I went to that wild card game at the vet, and we won. And I was in, you know, I think a Gary Clark jersey or something like that. You know, I wasn't hiding it. You know, I was there.
Right.
And we were in a section with a lot of Washington fans, because that was the section that they sold to us. And I'm telling, to this day, I'll never forget the looks on those people's faces. I thought they were going to skin us alive. It was Texas Chainsaw Massacre walking out of there. I'm like, let's go, let's go, let's go. We were running the car. People were mad. I mean, mad. They thought, because I forgot about this part, they kicked our butts in that game earlier. Buddy Ryan talked a lot of crap that week, but this was Joe Gibbs, Washington.
Of course.
We're hard to beat.
Yep.
And we won 20-6, shut down their offense, held them to 6 points. Buddy Ryan looked like a fool again. Washington ended up losing to the Niners, did set up for the next year, which ended up being the greatest season in team history. But I went to that game. One other thing that came out after this was, after the season, the NFL would address the problem of two quarterbacks being injured in the same game by instituting at that point the third quarterback rule, which would allow an NFL team to dress a third quarterback outside of the mandatory 45-man game day roster. And under that rule, the third quarterback could be played, but if he entered the game before the fourth quarter, neither of the quarterbacks could then return to the game. So if you had to put the third quarterback in, he had to finish. I mean, there has to be a limit at some point.
Of course.
But that's what that came to. So it went from 45 to technically 46 that day because of the body bag game. And I haven't talked to him about it in a very long time because I don't see him that often anymore, but Brian Mitchell on that game is very interesting to hear his memories of all of that.
I've heard quite a few of them. Yes.
Yeah. That is the last time we played a division team in the playoffs, right? We haven't played Dallas since the NFC Championship game.
Yeah, had to have been.
That was against the Eagles. We played the Giants in the 80s in the playoffs and lost to them in one of their Super Bowl years. I don't I'll have to look that one up, but we played them in the 80s. I don't believe we've played a division team since that 1991 game, right? Because the year we went to the Super Bowl in 91, we played Dion's Atlanta team. We played Detroit, who we destroyed.
Right.
got to the Super Bowl and won. I don't think we played another. I don't think we've played a division team. And since then, we've played who? Tampa Bay or Seattle? It's like Tampa Bay or Seattle almost every year.
Tampa
right?
Bay, Seattle.
Played them
Green
each
Bay,
multiple times. Played Green. Rodgers beat us here, right?
Yeah.
We played Tampa Bay multiple times, that's two it. Or three times. Played Seattle two or three times yep. in the playoffs. That's it, right?
Yeah, that's it. Those are the three teams.
So we have not played a division team in the playoffs.
Yeah, they
since
beat the Lions. They beat the Lions in '99 to get right. to the Tampa game.
Lost to Tampa, and then. We beat Tampa and lost to Seattle, right? Wasn't that one of those playoffs?
That was 2005. Then 2007, they lost to Seattle again.
Yep. Lost Seattle here in the RG3 year.
Yep. And then 2014 was Packers. And
Packers here beat
last
us.
Last year was the Buccaneers, yeah.
Last year was the Buccaneers. So we have not played a division game in the playoffs since night. So that's the last time we played a division team in the playoffs.
It's worth noting, every one of those years, except for 2007, actually, sorry, half those years, the last three times it is, three of the past five times, they were division winners. So that would make sense that they wouldn't play someone in their division.
I think that's probably, let's see, well, last year we had Tampa Bay played New Orleans in the playoffs. That happened. Yep. There's probably one a year, maybe, right?
Probably.
One a year or so that where it lines up where they end up playing each other. I wonder if the NFL, since they're doing this now, where they're lining people up to have to play each other in December, I wonder if they can kind of gin the thing up that they're more likely that you'd get a division matchup in the playoffs.
You'll probably get more of it now, though, because there's one more game, right?
Listen, I used to say this about hockey. I used to love that you have to go through your division just to get to the conference finals. Those series were crazy.
Well,
because those were nuts. Because you knew, like, in the regular season, you're playing these teams, you're like going, we're going to see you in a little bit.
Well, the main problem with that, though, is it screwed up, like, all those Caps Penn series. They should have been playing each other in the Eastern Conference Finals.
I hear you.
Not the round before.
The old school Patrick division, when you were either playing Penguins, Rangers, Flyers, every once in a while when the Devils got good, they had to play the Devils and the Islanders. Man, because those regular season games, you're like, oh, we'll see you in the spring. And you knew it was coming.
Right.
Oh, man. I don't mind the third matchup. I don't think it hurts. I don't think it hurts anybody to have those.
No.
Well, we had Seattle played LA in the playoffs last year, too. That happened.
Yes. Yeah,
year,
yeah,
that
right,
happened
yeah.
last year. All right. We'll take a quick break. Brainwash the show. He's been 630 Sports Capital. I knew it. This is D-Light with Bootsy Collins doing Groove Is in the Heart. Another song that Being White I loved. This played in every bar I was in all the time.
Still
constantly.
Plays in some bars.
Yeah. In college, the back-to-back of Humpty Dance and D-Light's Groove Is in the Heart. That'd make me go wild. Wild. Like a strain of Omicron weed.
Omicronic.
Omicronic. Oh, man. 1990. So I called it. Groove Is in the Heart came out in 1990.
August of 1990.
August 1990. We've chosen for Throwback Thursday because that is the year of the famous Washington-Philadelphia body bag game. And I'm not trying to be a ghoul. We're just picking
odds were stacked against them. It's
correct.
It was a rough
That's what
patch.
We're going with here. That's what we're going with here. Lakers now have five players in COVID protocols, including Russell Westbrook, Avery Bradley, Malik Monk, Dwight Howard, and Talen Horton-Tucker. So they're going to shut down.
Yep.
Can't make them play. I mean, they're going to make them play.
I think if you're the league, you got to think about Wizards' Suns tonight.
Yeah, we've heard nothing from them. The Kings shut down today after the Wizards played them last night.
After having problems going into that game.
Right. The coach was out. I don't remember if any players were out, but the coach was out. Now they have an outbreak there.
Yes.
The Wizards have a very prominent unvaccinated player on their team, by the way.
That's right, yes.
Okay.
Not too good.
All right, let's stick to sports, or maybe not with Jackson Mahomes. It's my story of the day.
Douchebag of the day.
Oh, man, what a day for me. If I want to just get my mind off things, I got Urban Meyer and Jackson Mahomes.
Yeah, really? Yeah.
I'd like to see them together in a TikTok video, actually.
Two thumbs up.
Let's see. Patrick Mahomes got upset that a cocktail bar in Kansas City wouldn't seat his very large...
Jackson Mahomes. Patrick Mahomes is a saint as far as we know.
Jackson Mahomes famously danced on Sean Taylor's number.
That's right.
The game this year for a TikTok video.
Right. Which, by the way, we still have to, walk back a little bit because the team actually put the chain over there. So that's where they were put.
Right.
I feel like it's worth saying that because people are pulling that out today, and it's like it wasn't really his fault. Anyways.
I took his apology at face value.
Yeah, agreed. So did I.
I still don't think being a TikTok star is really acceptable, but whatever. That's what he is.
That's right.
He went on social media because he went to a cocktail bar in Kansas City, showed up with a big group. They didn't seat him because apparently this is not a big place and they just didn't have the room for him.
Right.
But he went and killed him anyway on social media. So this is what they wrote to him.
This is one of the best posts ever.
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 In fact, I now want to get a t-shirt from the SOT cocktail bar.
They're getting review bombed with like 5-star reviews because of Jackson Mahomes. So they're going to be like the greatest bar in Kansas City probably by the end of the week.
This is what they wrote to his post, which was blasting the bar for not seating his group.
Mm-hmm.
"We are sorry that we set boundaries that you tried to ignore. Oftentimes, people with unearned status and a sense of entitlement think they're above the rules and will lash out at the employee enforcing them. We're sorry we could not seat your very large group. As you probably saw, our bar is very small. We are sorry that you have the reach that you do, or at least you think you do, and that instead of using it for something positive, you've decided to use it to try to crush a small business. We survived a global pandemic. We'll survive your ego."
Fantastic. Bravo.
Let's see.
What else
did they say?
It goes on.
"We're sorry you didn't reach out to us first before taking to social media. But then again, that is an expectation we would have from a mature and rational person, not someone who pours water on fans and dances on the memorials of tragically lost people for TikTok clout. We have not been fortunate enough to be born into a much more talented and much more famous family, but we would like to think that if we did have that much luck, we would use our influence in more responsible ways." I'd like to meet this owner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure he's doing interviews. Maybe he's on NFL Network today. Who knows?
Right.
If not, he's on local Kansas City TV for sure.
Gotta be.
That's how you clap back. And whoever this bar owner is, I love you. You're amazing. And don't seat Urban Meyer either.
The funniest part is this looks like, I saw like the pictures of it. Looks like a very nice bar. But it's not unlike in D.C. where you have some really tiny spots. There aren't a lot of places to sit. And if you come in with a large party, there's just going to be no way that they're going to be able to accommodate you. And that's exactly what he did.
Uh-huh.
And he's a douchebag for thinking walk into a place like that and clear out. Because you know what, buddy? You're Jackson Mahomes, not Patrick Jackson.
That's right.
Patrick Mahomes, they probably would try to clear things out for him. But you're not him.
You're not him. Let's see. This is funny. Oh, man. So, the other day, Jackson State got, like, the number one or two recruit. Let's see, the number one, according to some people, Rivals. Number one ranked recruit in the nation to sign with them instead of Florida State.
That's right.
Part of that was Deion's got a deal with Barstool.
Yep, Barstool signed him to an NIL deal. Yep.
So, they signed him to an NIL deal. Somehow, Florida doesn't have one of these bills in place. That changed today.
Not shocked.
Yeah.
Priorities there.
Uh-huh. There's an amended bill that would strike language that prohibited schools from causing compensation to be directed to athletes.
Oops.
Chip LaMarca, the 53-year-old Florida State representative, filed a new bill on Wednesday. Let me guess, he went to Florida State.
Yeah, right.
Wondering.
Yep.
And I'm sure whoever's at Florida and Florida State and all these other places is going, a day too late, dummy.
Right.
Did you see what happened?
Thanks, we lost
Idiots.
Out already.
That's so funny. They changed the law because Deion, with that big smile and that little bing on his tooth.
So good.
Oh, so good. They changed the law to help FSU not lose recruits that are already gone. FSU's in Tallahassee, the state capital, too.
That's right.
Those phone calls from that university president over to the state capital must have been interesting. Did you see what happened today? Chip? Dummy? chip. I know a lot of chips.
And a few chips.
Who make a lot of, like, this sounds like something many chips would do. I know a chip personally that would also do something as dumb as this. Like, not change the law to help their schools do this.
I don't know why
we
got to pay them. We're giving them an education.
Chip. Chip. Good job, Chip. Anyway, what am I going to do? Oh, I want to do a sports radio segment next.
What's that?
Worst coaching tenures ever.
Because
I think we just had one complete yesterday.
Okay. All right.
Pretty much the show ESPN 630 Sports Capital.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.